Father, we thank you for a good night's rest, Lord. And there may be some that didn't get a good night's rest, but we're thankful, Lord, for that extra hour after quite a busy weekend and certainly a busy day here at the church with the ladies' seminar. We thank you for all those who were able to come and attend from different churches, many different places, Lord, whether they came by themselves or they drove with friends or they came in a church van. Some came from several hours away. We're grateful for the beautiful day. All those that helped and served, Lord, in any aspect, those who were not able to be here but maybe lifted it up in prayer, or maybe gave financially in some form or fashion. We thank you, Lord, for the good spirit that was here. We thank you for many of the gracious folks who thanked our people for the seminar and thankful for the day. We thank you for the fries, being able to travel over. And Lord, help in our ministry here by speaking and even today. Thank you for Servant's Heart Camp, what you've done there, what you're continuing to do there, what you're going to do in the future, Lord. And we look forward to hearing more about that in the Sunday school hour. Lord, we pray for the Cremards as they had an early morning start today, Lord, driving to a church they've never been to that is searching for a pastor. I pray you'd help Pastor Cremard as he speaks several times today, Lord. I'm sure he's weary as well from a busy day yesterday. I pray you'll give him the strength he needs to preach and to teach and to help that church, Lord, as they are looking for a new pastor. We pray for Shane and Katie also, Lord, exhausted no doubt from a busy day as they're now at Berwick, I believe, preaching this morning. Be back with us tonight. Lord, others that may be not feeling well, Lord. I know several that aren't feeling well that are at home. We certainly pray that you would allow them to, Lord, even not feeling well, participate in the services, perhaps by watching, to be encouraged in the Lord for the messages that are shared today. Lord, we thank you again for your goodness. Lord, what a privilege it is to serve you. And Lord, I pray that we would serve you from a servant's heart. Lord, not with eye service, as the Bible says, but Lord, from the heart, for you, for we serve the Lord Jesus. Thank you again, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you. It is good to be here. I feel like we're coming home. I feel like lots of familiar faces, a church that supports us in so many ways, and you are just a blessing. Thank you very much. And I think, do we have a PowerPoint that is working?
Nestled in the gently rolling mountains of central Pennsylvania is a special place where the distractions of the world fade away and God's still small voice can be heard. This is Servant's Heart Camp, where great fun and a strong focus on the preaching of God's Word combine to challenge hearts and change lives for the glory of God. When a camper comes to Servant's Heart Camp, they are going to have fun. A wide variety of outstanding and exciting activities are sure to provide the perfect setting for an exceptional time of unforgettable fun. Whether it's the team games, mealtime events, nighttime activities, or the craziness of water days, campers are sure to have the time of their life. During afternoon free time, campers can experience a variety of diverse and unique events, such as a thrilling ride on the zip line, shooting blamzukas, hitting balls at the batting cage, or a cool dip in the lake. Between all those fun activities, campers can stop by the Bear Den for a refreshing milkshake. While fun is a valuable part of the camping experience, the true desire of camp is to see hearts and lives changed through the power of the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit, and for every camper to deepen their relationship with Jesus Christ. Each day, campers will be immersed in the Word of God and be encouraged to grow spiritually in their walk with God. From personal devotions to start the day to cabin devotions at the end of the day, the camp schedule is designed to constantly bring each camper's attention back to God. Practical Christian living is a time for the evangelist to bring a practical message on how to be victorious in the Christian life. Director's Hour is an opportunity to learn biblical truth from a practical object lesson. Scripture Memory Time encourages campers to hide God's Word in their own heart. Counselors will also spend one-on-one time with each camper throughout the week to give them personalized counsel from God's Word to deal with the unique challenges that they face. The highlight of every day at camp is the evening rally, where Christ-honoring music sets the tone for the strong and convicting preaching of God's Word. Campers are given an invitation to respond to the preaching and receive help from a counselor to make spiritual decisions.
So, back before the summer began, I wasn't following God and obeying Him like I should have been. I was actually struggling with the thought of suicide. But praise God, He touched my life through the ministry of this camp. He pulled me out of a really dark and lonely place. And now, like Psalm 23 says, my cup runneth over.
I made many life-changing decisions at camp, but in 2012, when I was 16, I surrendered my life to the Lord. Though I grew up as a pastor's daughter, my walk with God didn't become real until that summer. Because of that summer, I am now joyfully serving the Lord with my husband.
When I was 12, I came to camp for the first time and received Christ as my Savior. Over my teen years, I came back and made life-changing decisions about my walk with God, and it has transformed my life.
I came to camp this summer struggling. All through the week, I knew God wanted me to get things right, but I was stubborn. My one-on-one time encouraged me to get right with God, and that evening during the rally, I realized I needed to fully surrender my life. That night, God changed me, and I surrendered my life to Christ for His use.
As a teenager, I attended Servant's Heart and later worked as a summer staff member. God used my time there to develop my heart for service to Him, and now I am currently serving as an assistant pastor. I couldn't be more grateful for the impact of Servant's Heart in my life.
While youth camps may be its backbone, Servant's Heart Camp provides other great opportunities for fun, fellowship, and spiritual growth for all ages throughout the year. Events such as family camps, father-son retreats, men's retreats, ladies' retreats, work retreats, and our Young at Heart event are all designed to help Christians, young and old, to draw closer to Christ. With so many opportunities available, why not make plans to come and experience camp for yourself? If you do, you'll understand why we say, to God be the glory, great things He is doing at Servant's Heart Camp.
Well, I've obviously seen that many times before, but I just can hardly go without commenting on some of those testimonies, some of them that I've had contact here relatively recently. And what a blessing. I'm sure that I must have mentioned, we'll go on with that. I'm sure I must have mentioned the guy that said he came to camp when he was 12 and got saved. And it is such an encouragement to watch him since that time. He would come to camp and he always had such a sensitivity to God's word and wanted to get things right. He'd go home to his public school and to a family that had no impact in spiritual things. And he'd come back the next year right where he was before. And I remember I counseled with him. It would have been his senior year, his last year to come to camp. He loved camp. And I said, Dalton, are you going to church? He said, no. I said, how do you expect to be faithful when you're not going to church? And I went and looked up in the internet. I found a church for him and I said, here's a church I'd like you to go to. He said, that's 15 minutes away from my home. I remember going back to my wife and said, if this kid is not willing to travel 15 minutes to go to church, he's never going to make it spiritually. Well, we were at that wedding, at that church for a wedding that summer, and the youth leader came to me and said, guess who's been coming to church? And he's been dragging his parents along, and he's just been baptized. Very encouraging. Then that year or summer, he talked to me. He said, Mr. Fry, he said, you think I could be a counselor next year? I said, Dalton, I am thrilled that you want to be a counselor, but I am not sure you're quite ready yet. Well, I said, whatever you think. He said, would you be willing to be an operational staff? So he was an operational staff that year, and God really did a work in his life. Next year, contacted me again. Do you think, at this time he had a full-time job, he had to take 2 months off. He said, do you think that I could be a counselor this year? And I didn't get back to him, and finally I got back to him and said, yes, I think you're ready. That year, the Lord just really did a work in his life, and the Lord called him to preach. And he's now in Bible college. In fact, those teenagers, if you're thinking about coming to camp, both of them are going to be good. But we have two. We've never had winter retreat speakers this young. But Dalton and Jeremiah, two guys that love the Lord, are going to split the preaching sessions, and it's just exciting to see that. Bringing up this summer, did anything happen this summer? Oh, where do we start? I have to think of the 1 week of camp. I'm standing up in the hill, and I see a kid with his sleeping bag, had it strung around his neck, and his suitcase, and he's walking out the driveway. Something doesn't seem quite right there. So I saw two staff members stop and talk to him. They talked for a little bit, and he turned around and kept going out the driveway. And then we have a truck driver, a Christian fellow. He had delivered stones, and he saw him going out the driveway, and I watched him from up in the hill. He stopped and talked to him and had prayer with him and told him what a good name, good spiritual name he had. But he got back in the truck, and the kid kept walking out the driveway. Finally, said, okay, we've got to do something here. So I took two young strapping staff members, and we went out and pretty much physically said, we just can't allow you, this is like an 11-year-old kid, I said, we can't allow you to go out and leave the property. Well, this is dumb here, we have dumb rules, and why do I have to do this? And I really didn't allow kids very quickly to go home, but finally he wanted to call his mom. I said, okay, so we waited, I don't know, an hour and a half, and I ended up going down to chapel, and I thought he was going home. Well, a little bit later in chapel, he comes in, walks up to his cabin, and sits down. I thought, oh boy, is this good or bad? I'm getting to the exciting part. The following day, Tuesday, he was out in the water mat, and he had his life jacket on, and for some reason, he decided to take his life jacket off, and he didn't have so he broke the rules, and it was apparently an interaction, let's say, between the lifeguard and him. And so I went and talked to him. I said, you know, you're not going to be able to use the lake tomorrow because you broke the rules, and so that's our policy. Okay, he said, you're right, I did break the rules. He said, I won't use it. Anyhow, getting to the end of the story, the end of the week we have a meeting that the staff talks about what their highlight was, what that sort of thing. And the kid made a lot of good changes that week. But what was really neat, a girl that's in the dish pit, was in the dish pit last year, she said, when I heard he was going home, I was so disappointed. Because she said, last year at camp, I had picked a couple kids that I prayed for throughout the year. And he was one that I prayed for. And it was just really, really neat. This young girl in the dish pit was praying for this young guy. And seeing him make some great decisions that week was exciting. Oh, what else? Oh, there's another one here. I once a week, I take one of the young men and we go buy a milkshake and I say, hey, what do you like about camp? What don't you like about camp? How can we improve camp? All that sort of thing. And this guy said to him, and another kid, 11, 12 years old probably, and so we talked about it a little bit and said, you know, what did you learn spiritually? Nothing. I said, are you saved? He said, no. So we continued to talk, and after a while I said, maybe I should be getting saved. And so he had shorts and a t-shirt on, and it's hard to believe, but that particular afternoon, it was cold. He was there shaking. I said, should we take a Bible, and we'll go find a warm place, and we'll show you God's simple plan of salvation. Well, I ended up going to the New Lodge, and this was kind of exciting. We went in because it had some protection in the bottom floor, went in there and sat down. So that was the first kid to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in that lodge. Kind of exciting. I'm looking forward to many more of those in the future. Could tell some more stories, but we're gonna go on here. Just a little bit about the Lodge Project. People have been asking about the Lodge on... Oh, that's not up there. I'm just looking at it. You're not looking at it. So, April 1st, basically April 1st, we started on a building that supposedly will look like that at some point. So far, the Lord has provided about $1.1 million. That is, for a small ministry like that, that is super exciting. We got our original prices back in 2020. The prices that we got in 2020 do not compare with the prices that are coming in now. So we need much more. This is the chapel, artist's rendition of the chapel. This is the upstairs dining room. This is the fireplace room. Excited about that room. It's just really cool, overlooking the lake with the big windows. This is the game room. Excited about that room. Why do we need a lodge? Some of you are familiar with our dining room. This is our current dining room. And it's nice when it's 75 degrees and just a gentle breeze. But when the rain starts forgetting it's supposed to come down like this and it comes like this, things like that, we really need to replace our dining room. Also, from basically middle of May to middle of September is our season. And having an enclosed dining room would be really nice. This is our kitchen. And you say, can any good thing come out of that kitchen? Yes, it can, but it's still a limiting factor. This is our game tent. Well, it's actually not that game tent anymore that we replaced it this past year, but our carpet ball, shuffleboard, ping pong, that sort of thing, are in a tent. Just very quickly, we're going to get through the history just really quickly. First year, we had 71 campers. We grew to 472 campers on a rental property. Then we moved to our own property with porta potties and shower tents and all that kind of good stuff. How many have used these shower tents? Some people say, "Oh, I miss the shower tents," but we're thankful we don't. So anyhow, we went from 472 down to 222 the first year. It was not until we had our utilities installed and had flushing toilets and all that kind of stuff. Continued to grow till COVID year, dropped down to 618 campers, 608, and this past year, 1,119 campers. You say, why are you telling us about campers? This is a picture. I got an email from a young man. He said, I was a junior counselor in 2006. He said, I was not your best junior counselor ever. And I remember him. He's right. He was not our best junior counselor ever. But he said, I was thinking about spiritual decisions that I've made. And he said, virtually every significant spiritual decision that I made was made at Servant's Heart Camp. And he said, I just want to thank you for having Servant's Heart Camp. And then he went on to tell me how he was in a ministry in New York, very similar to Servant's Heart. And it was just a real encouragement. So we show you all that numbers, not just to say, we want to have more numbers, do we have more grass, but it gives us more opportunities. Just very quickly, we have 10 cabins that kind of look like that in the outside, 10 cabins that look like that in the inside. We have a bear den, which is where they go to get their milkshakes or Christian literature or hoodies or all sorts of things. We have the lake glide that you saw in the video. You step off that tower, go across the lake, and end up on the other side. We have the welcome wall, and, I won't say more about that. We have street lights that used to have construction lights, so now up to the guys' cabins, we have nice street lights rather than construction lights. The playing field. We were able to use the playing field. That's what our playing field looked like. We had a bunch of people come and help cut down trees. I was planning to start digging them with our own backhoe, and I realized that was virtually impossible. And so we got an excavator in to dig them. And then we had rented a bulldozer, and Ben leveled the playing field for us. And then we needed topsoil, and we needed to get through this very quickly. And we had a guy that brought topsoil. He would always come late at night. He would work late at night. Typically wouldn't start till dark. And he was super nice to us. Gave us mulch and treated us very well. So we decided that we were going to talk to him again because we needed some more of the work done. We talked to this guy again, and his phone was disconnected. I thought, this is weird. So I looked him up, Googled him, and found out that he was running a chop shop. And the equipment that he was using, I sent it to Ben. And he said, that's the equipment that he was using in our property. So we think that maybe this was we had a good property to hide his equipment for him to use it. So he would haul it at nighttime. So we don't know, but can the Lord use wicked people to be a blessing to Servant's Heart Camp? Yes, he can. So this is the first year that we were able to use the playing field and used it this summer. Lodge progress. We'll go through this very quickly. For those of you familiar with the lake, right behind the lake is where the lodge is going up. April 1st is we started digging in earnest. This is a shot through the framing of the windows that will be for the fireplace room. We're excited about that room. Excited for some of you to come in the wintertime and sit down when it's snowing, and we'll sit there in front of the fireplace and drink. Some of you will drink that coffee stuff. I'll drink hot chocolate or tea or something, and just enjoy God's goodness. This is not quite a current picture, but almost a current picture. The windows were enclosing everything up for two reasons. Bill Ford has been an absolute blessing. He's our project manager, been an absolute blessing. But he made it clear he goes to Arizona in the wintertime. So we're closing up. He's coming back again next week to finish up some things. And so we're waiting for warmer weather and for more money. So between the two, we have a little bit of money, but not really. Really can't do forward with any major project. This was on Friday. They were putting the shingles on the roof, and they wanted to finish on Friday, but unfortunately they ran out of shingles, so it will not happen until supposedly Monday or Tuesday. There's the artist conception of the lodge, and there's what the lodge looks like now. To God be the glory, great things he is doing. Future is bright at Servant's Heart Camp. Here's a picture that was taken across the lake at one of the events. This was taken this year at one of the nighttime activities with tiki torches, et cetera, et cetera. So, okay. Pray for us. It seems exciting to see that much of the lodge goes up. We just got some pricing on HVAC. It was about double what we were expecting. So we are looking to the Lord to meet the needs over the next month. Let's pray together. Father God, as we look into your word briefly, we ask that you would help us to be challenged from you, to grow in you. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11. This is just one of those verses that you read over many times, and all of a sudden you read over it and you say, whoa, that is for me. Isaiah 58, 11 says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not." When I first found this verse, like it was there all the time, but the first impacted me, it was because of the phrase, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually." I don't know if you are like I am, but man, I so much feel like, oh God, I need your guidance. I need your guidance with camp. I need your guidance with church. I need your guidance with family. I want to be the godly father and the godly grandfather. And that's the phrase that captured my attention. The Lord shall guide thee continually. I typically pick a verse virtually every day. I pick a verse that my verse when my mind isn't doing anything, that I go back to that verse. The verses that I would pick the most often have to do with God's guidance. Psalm 32:8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes." And God is promising to guide me with my eyes. And I don't know exactly how that works, but God, I want you to guide me with mine eyes. Psalm 25, verse 9 says, "The meek shall he guide in judgment, the meek shall he teach his way." Do you realize God promises me that as I am meek, he will guide me? That's a pretty significant commandment. And we're not going to take the time to look at it, but you go back to Numbers chapter 12 and you find that it says Moses was very, very meek above all men. But he was getting some criticism from his sister and from his brother. Do you know that not everybody likes, Pastor Boyer? I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it. But not everybody likes the pastor. So I know, it's just shocking. It's just shocking. But not, you do some dumb stuff. I mean, why do you do that? Don't you? And people sometimes are, well, why do you do that? You're critical. But not everybody likes the camp director either. And how do I respond? This is some time back, 3-4 months ago. I got an email, a long, long email telling me everything that I do wrong. And I had to think, how do I respond to that? God says, the meek shall he guide in judgment. I have a number of verses here that I would go to. But so the first phrase here, and we're going to get to the last phrase. In fact, we're going to skip that one, I think. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul and draw it. It doesn't say he's going to eliminate your difficulties. He's not going to eliminate them. But you're going to have a satisfaction that is only from God. And make fat thy bones. Now, we don't like to think about fat. Fat is bad nowadays. But make fat thy bones. That's kind of the strength of your body, of your life. And ye shall be like a watered garden. There's a place up close to where we live that there's this big old huge fenced-in garden, and it's beautiful. I mean, when you drive past, it looks like there's not a weed in the garden. Now, what do you know about a garden that doesn't have a weed in it? Somebody has been spending a lot of time in it. And sometimes, if I want my life, now, you don't really have to know this, but sometimes I have sinful thoughts, and I think, I think about this person. I'll reach down. I got to pluck that weed out and get rid of that weed. And I think, I'm good. But just like the garden, over here's something too. I got to pluck that out, and I got to get rid of that. And so he said, ye shall be like a water garden. And the last phrase here, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Like a spring of water whose waters fail not. A number of years ago, many years ago, the family went to Yellowstone. And we wanted to see a geyser. So where do you think we went to see a geyser? Anybody know a geyser that we would have seen in Yellowstone? Old Faithful, yes. We went and looked at Old Faithful, and you know, actually, there's a countdown clock in the little room there. You know, 5 minutes, 4 minutes, okay, we better rush out there. And we saw Old Faithful, and it was really, really cool. And then we are walking around, and we see this geyser. I'm telling you, it must have been 20 times the size of Old Faithful. It was huge. It was unbelievable. I mean, water was flowing everywhere, over walkways. Some of the workers were coming out, running out to see it. As I remember, it had not gone off for like 20 years. But it was much, much bigger, much more flamboyant than what Old Faithful was. So why didn't you tell, I think the name of it was Giant. I think that was the name. Why didn't you say, if I want to go to Old Faithful, you want to see Giant? Let me tell you, Pastor Boyer, our Lord, is looking for some faithfulness. He's not looking for the time when you got up and, man, I remember going to church. I would be jealous of this guy. I mean, he would tell how he had put tracks, and he had a way to put tracks in that when they pulled out the next paper towel, the track would come floating out. He would always have these flamboyant ways of how he had shared his faith and how he had done all this stuff. But when the regular, normal stuff was there to be done, he wasn't there. Do you know what God is looking for? He is looking for faithfulness. Day after day after day after day. You know what? It's good to come and do some big things at the ladies' seminar. It's good to come to do big things at some big event you're having. It's good to come and do those things. But here is my question. Are you faithful? Here's a verse. Like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Are you faithful day after day after day after day with the little things of life? You know, not just at church. Are you faithful at home with your children, with your spouse? Are you faithful in doing what God has called you to do? Are you faithful at work with your coworkers, being faithful with what God has called you to do? Oh, it's great to come here and do this great thing, do this giant. But you know what? You didn't remember that, and I think that was the name of the geyser. I think it was called Giant, but you don't remember Giant because it only goes off every 20 years ago, and then it just makes a 20 years or so, it makes a big splash. God is looking for some people that will be faithful. Will you be faithful today, tomorrow, when you don't feel like it, when you do feel like it, when you feel like staying in bed, will you be faithful to what God has called you to do? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. And Father, we thank you that you will guide us continually, and this is a conditional promise based upon us serving you and doing what we ought to. But Father, I'm asking that we would have some faithful people right here at IBC. Some that would just day after day after day do the little things that are pleasing to you. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' precious name, amen.